So, considering our medical schools have largely reached gender parity, why do you think women continue to be underrepresented in the profession's leadership roles?
This is what we've been addressing in our recent research, and the answer to the question isn't really a simple one, and there are a number of different factors which contribute to this situation that we have today. We talk about them in terms of three C's. That's capability, capacity, and credibility. So we argue that women are kind of capable of these roles as well as men are, but there might be some issues in terms of women lacking self-confidence or being unwilling to self-promote in the way that you might need to for some of these sorts of leadership roles. There's an issue of capacity, and this particularly relates to caring roles, and a lot of women still having primary carer roles associated with motherhood, and a number of these sorts of roles are often difficult to balance work and life off against. And the final one is about credibility, and this is possibly not a kind of an overt factor. It's more of a it's more of an unconscious factor often, which is still, I think, within Australia and in other countries, we have a particular view of what good leadership and good leaders look like. Mm. And often they're associated with a lot of male kind of traits. There's quite a bit of evidence out there to suggest that sometimes it's more difficult for women, particularly to go into more senior leadership roles because of the impacts of unconscious bias.
Yeah, I mean, the report says that women are hitting the glass ceiling, but they don't seem to be breaking it. How can they move forward and pass those preconceptions of what a leader should be?
I mean, like anything, there are women who kind of disprove this rule and that's often taken by people to demonstrate that a glass ceiling doesn't exist, because some women do manage to go into senior leadership roles. And when we talk to those individuals, what they often talk about is having had really good mentors, really good, and they can be male or female, people who can give really good, solid advice about how they pursue in terms of their career. And a lot of women we talk to have, don't necessarily have kind of caring responsibilities, or have somebody, their partner is at home who kind of does primary caring role, and they've often sought out kind of advice, gone for things when other women might not do so. And so there are always people who kind of disprove the rule. One of the challenges is in solving this issue, because it's such a complex one. There's no kind of magic solution, no silver bullet to this. It's gonna take a lot of kind of hard work across a number of different areas in order to improve these figures.
Yeah. What are some of those areas that we need to approach to improve the situation?
Well, it's both a kind of structural, practical stuff about organisations, how we work on a day-to-day basis, how we recruit people and how we train them. But also, as I said, this kind of unconscious biasing, which is a bit more cultural, and in some ways is more difficult to change, because these are often kind of entrenched beliefs that people have had for a number of years, and these aren't just perpetuated by men. Women kind of unconsciously perpetuate these biases as well. Mm. In practical terms around leadership roles, I mean, if you talk to people like Julia Gillard, she will say that if you want to increase, the number of women who go into kind of political leadership or what have you, then actually you need quotas, and you need specific ways of recruiting if you're going to change people's behaviours. Now, that might not be as appropriate in a context of recruiting for leadership roles, but thinking about having, female representation within a recruitment panel, if you you know, if you go out to advert and only get men applying for those sorts of roles, maybe think about how you might, you know, you might advertise differently, or you might get, you know, encourage women to advertise for those kinds of roles as well. I think we need to think about how we operate our mentorship opportunities so that women get really good advice and have the confidence to go forward for these sorts of roles as well. So there's a whole series of different things that we can do. But on their own, no one of these will be the solution to it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And just to finish off, what advice do you have for young women who are seeking to enter the profession and gain senior leadership roles in the field in the future?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first point is probably, and this would be the piece of advice I would give anybody, if you're going into the field solely to go into a senior leadership role, then you might want to rethink your kind of your priorities. You know, people who just go in to have a senior leadership role often they tend to be doing these things for the, you know, for the wrong sorts of reasons. But if somebody went into a profession and found that they were advancing and did want to take on more responsibility, I think a really kind of useful thing to do would be to seek out a really good mentor who you trust and knows the field and knows the area and can give you some really, really good advice. I'd suggest that you network as widely as you can, that you join a number of different groups and different associations so that people know you, you understand what the issues are, and you have those good links across those areas. And then make sure you're prepared and kind of ready, and you've had the appropriate training for these sorts of roles. Both male and female doctors who are looking to go into senior management and leadership roles often lack, they've got good clinical experience, but they sometimes lack the managerial or leadership experience that they might need to go into these roles. And so think about what you need to make up your skills around that, whether that's kind of practical training around aspects of management, or whether you might take on some kind of project roles or some more informal opportunities to gain some of that leadership experience, and make sure that you're really prepared for those roles.
Helen, thank you so much for joining us here on The Daily this morning.
Thanks for your time.